Welcome back to First Take. We got a quick take. Luka makes history. It was a stat line never seen in the NBA. 60 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. The triple-double makes Luka one of three players in NBA history with a 50-20-10 game, along with Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor. Now, we've got Harry Douglas joining the party. Harry, was Luka's performance last night the best regular season performance ever?
In my eyes, yes. You talk about something that's never been done. 60 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. And Mad Dog, in your honor, oh, my God. I can't believe the Knicks blew it like that. 33 seconds, and they were up 9 points. Oh, my God. Mad Dog, I had to represent you, my man.
Good job, man.
But you talk about a guy in Luka who's cool, calm, and collected, plays at his own pace, can play with his back to the basket, a hell of a passer, can score the basketball from anywhere on the basketball court. I love this young man's game. And he's not a rising superstar. He is a superstar.
He is a superstar indeed. Now we got to get back to the NFL full of superstars, where the fight to finish continues with four of the seven NFC playoff spots clinched. And the last 2 weeks of the regular season will decide a winner in the several divisions and which two teams will take the final wild card spots. The Cowboys look to be one of those wild card teams. Here's Dak on playing on the road.
For us to get to where we want to go, we've got to play some tough games against some great opponents and win them. And that's really the only thing that matters. With the way this team is built, we're fine if it's on the road, if it's in different elements. Our communication is great. So it's not daunting at all. It's fun.
All right, Harry Douglas, Chris Canty with us now. Harry, which NFC QB do you trust the most in the playoffs?
I'm surprised this is even a question, Victoria.
I'm coming in hot.
I'm coming in like a hot tamale.
Come on in, hot tamale.
Tom Brady. Tom Edward Brady.
After this season.
I don't give a damn what season it is.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
All right.
35-12 in the playoffs. 10 Super Bowl appearances. 7 Super Bowl rings. That speaks volume for itself. Now, when I look at all the other quarterbacks in the, you know, in the NFC race right now to contend for the playoffs, right now, you talk about Dak Prescott. He has one win in the playoffs, 1-3. Jalen Hurts, he's 0-1, just happened to lose to, you know, Tom Edward Brady last year in the playoffs. Then you look at Purdy, 0 playoff attempts. Kirk Cousins is 1-3. Daniel Jones, 0 playoff appearances. Carson Wentz, 0-1. Taylor Heineke, 0-1, just happened to lose to that guy Tom Brady once again. Now, Chris Canty, I see how you're looking at me, and I know you got the best of Tom Brady in your day back in 2011. But I don't trust anybody else at this juncture of the season when you talk about playoff time more so than I do Tom Brady.
Wow. I mean, I don't know how you can trust anything about the Tampa Bay Bucs, including Tom Brady, given what we've seen from them this year. Look, it took a Herculean effort for them in overtime against a double-digit loss Arizona Cardinals team to come out with a win on Christmas Day. I don't know how you can buy stock in Tom Brady. You can't look at the quarterback in isolation. It's not in a bubble. It's also what's around the quarterback. And for that reason, I got to go with Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the decision-making that we've seen from Jalen Hurts. He's accounted for 35 touchdowns to only 7 turnovers. Quarterbacks that account for 35 or more touchdowns for their teams, all of them have double-digit turnovers. Those are the Joe Burrows, the Patrick Mahomes, and the Josh Allens of the world. Jalen Hurts is in that category, but the efficiency is what separates him from everybody else in that NFC playoff field. Forget about the fact that he doesn't have any playoff wins. All right, listen, we know that quarterbacks struggle in their first foray in the playoffs. But think about this. Matt Stafford last year had only one playoff win going on the road to Tampa to play against the GOAT. How'd that turn out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well,
not that good. And Matt Stafford was playing at a really high level that year, similar to what we're seeing from Jalen Hurts. Now, we'll have to see how practice goes this week with the shoulder and what happens with that. But if for whatever reason Jalen Hurts is able to be on that field against the New Orleans Saints this Sunday, and they do wrap up home field advantage in that first round bye, I don't know how you couldn't love the spot that the Philadelphia Eagles would be in.
That's my point, though. If Jalen Hurts does not play against the New Orleans Saints, if he doesn't play another game in this regular season, and then they have that first round bye, it's going to be 30-plus days since Jalen Hurts has played football live against an opponent. And then we're not just talking about his non-throwing shoulder. We're talking about the shoulder that he's been so remarkable with this season, the shoulder that he has to throw with. That we can't just negate that. We got to factor all these things in. That's why I choose Brady.
I love you, Harry. I love to be on your side, but me and Mr. Canty are on the same page today. And look about the AFC for a second. There are four quarterbacks I trust in the AFC. Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, and Herbert. I trust Herbert, those four. I don't know if I trust anybody in the NFC, but because the team has played so well, he played well in some college playoff games in big spots. Bad last year. That was a bad team. I will go with Hurts, too. And I think he's going to play. I know he's got a shoulder. I think they'll figure out a way to get him some work in the next two games, maybe play a half. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he'll play. He won't be going there completely cold. And we all love Brady. Who doesn't love Brady? We know how great he is. Great job on the fourth quarter comeback. But you got to look at the big picture, and that team has struggled to score points all year long. So I can't take him because part of it's the team. I don't trust the offensive line. You know, they're not even in the playoffs yet. They got to beat Carolina. So I will go Hurts. I'm with Mr. Canty over there. I will go Hurts. Cousins, you got to see. He's won one playoff game on the road. I got to see a lot more. You can't trust Purdy. Rodgers isn't in the playoffs. Daniel Jones has never played in the playoff game. Washington, if they make the playoffs, who's going to be the quarterback? There's nobody there. The NFC is a disaster.
Why is he saying Dak?
And I don't trust Dak.
Who the heck is that?
I forgot about
Dak.
I forgot about him.
Dak.
I don't trust him in a big game. I don't trust him.
Me either.
Prescott.
No.
So I'm not taking
it. They got to make it out of the first round.
And they might
have to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who they might play against?
They might have to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is another reason why I'm choosing Tom Brady is the simple fact that I can't get out of my mind the Super Bowl pedigree that this team does have. And granted, I think they've only played two complete games this season. Yeah. The one against the Seattle Seahawks in Munich in the first game of the year against the Dallas Cowboys. Other than that, they've been horrible. But when you do have a guy in Tom Brady who's been phenomenal throughout his career, you do have a lot of carryover from the Super Bowl team, even though they haven't lived up to that hype this season. At any given time, it can click. At any given time, it can.
It's true. You
can say that, but when you start talking about Super Bowl winning teams, it's not just the guys on the field, it's also the guys on the sideline. Last time I checked, Todd Bowles ain't got no Super Bowl winning pedigree as a head coach.
Oh, I don't love him in a big game.
No.
Point,
listen,
Chris.
Great coordinator, not necessarily the best head coach, and game management has been an issue for this Bucs team this season. All you got to do is look back to the Cincinnati Bengals game and how he managed that with the fake punt fiasco with Gio Bernard. Awful decision. Look at the end of the Cleveland Browns game.
Yeah, didn't call timeout.
Didn't call timeout.
Yeah,
absolutely egregious. There are coaching gaffes that we've seen from Todd Bowles. And remember what Bill Belichick and Nick Saban said in the Art of Coaching special. Good players can't overcome bad coaching. We've never had to worry about the coaching with Tom Brady between Bill Belichick and Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
We're now at a point where we do have to worry about that. Another issue that I have with the Bucs and why I side with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, look at the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
The Eagles are phenomenal on defense. Forget about all of the other metrics that people will throw at you. What matters with winning championships, fourth quarter sacks, third downs, and red zone. The Philadelphia Eagles this season, top 10 in all of those categories. Oh, by the way, the team that won the championship last year, the LA Rams defense, top 10 in all of those categories. That is going to matter in terms of being able to make a lead stick. So Jalen Hurts, the identity of that offense, him being a part of the running game, as well as the downfield passing game, coupled with that defense, is why I trust Hurts more than any other quarterback in the NFC playoff.
And here's the issue I have with the coaching staff, especially from the offensive side of the ball with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's times, Canty, you know, we played against each other. If we knew a team was going to have a pass rush and we couldn't protect, we would start off the game in no huddle. We would start off the game in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they only want to get in 2 minutes when they need scores and they need touchdowns late in the game? Start out in the game in it. If that's been your best offense so far this season, why not start the game off in it? Now, if I'm going against the Carolina Panthers this weekend, which they are, I'm starting out the game in no huddle in 2 minute offense.
Mm.
So I don't have to huddle up every play and try to, you know, get things going. Let's get things going from jump like we have done late in games to get these wins to actually be in the position they are in right now.
One thing about Hurts, and I'm with Chris on Hurts, we haven't seen him in the NFL where he has to throw the football down the field late in the game. And he's going to have probably the 49ers looking at him with that defense. And there might be a situation, an NFC championship game, where he's got to go 80 yards against a very good defense to win a title.
Yeah.
We have never seen him do that. No. And that would be a little bit of a, you have to be careful of saying they're a lock to get out of the NFC because of him, because we haven't seen him in the big pressure cooker of an NFL game.
But if they do have the bye week, you're talking about the Eagles being one of four teams
only got one versus one of seven.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that was the formula they utilized when they won the championship back in 2017.
And as we've seen in playoffs, anything can
happen. With Nick Foles.
Yeah,
you just got to make the dance. Trust me, I was on the bad side of, the Green Bay Packers squeaking into the playoffs in 2010 and going on a run.
You
2011.
Got, Harry, you on the bad side of another playoff.
We got to
How many games y'all won in that season 2011?
We only won 9 games to date, the only team not to win double digits to win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
But we took care of business.
We played them in the
first round. Like I said, anything
can happen. They got the one safety.
Anything can happen. We have a lot more NFL to discuss.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We've got a quick take. Bethune-Cookman hired a familiar face as their new head football coach. Hall of Fame safety Ed Reed will take on the helm in Daytona, Florida. Harry, what's your reaction to this hire?
I think this is phenomenal. You see a guy like Deion Sanders who set the trend going to Jackson State to a HBCU, and you've seen all the great that came out of it. Forget the people that wants to talk down on Deion for him taking a job at Colorado, but looking at a guy like Ed Reed, who's a Hall of Famer, who played the game at a high level, played at the U, is going to remain in the state of Florida and be able to recruit a lot of guys to come to BCC. I can't wait for those classics. I work with Countdown to College Game Day. I travel with those guys, and we went to Jackson State for that game against Southern. I thought it was a phenomenal time and a phenomenal moment for HBCU. So I love this move from Ed Reed. I just hope people don't bash him when he decides to depart for another job later on in his career. It's called elevation. People got to understand that. You don't get a job to just stay the same. You get a job to elevate. So I just want people to understand that. But I love this position that Ed Reed has taken.
Congratulations to Ed Reed. All right, to the NFL, where this season, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes have been among the league's best QBs. Josh Allen has thrown for 32 touchdowns while running for 7. Joe Burrow has the league's third best completion percentage at 69%, while Mahomes leads the league in both passing yards per game and passing touchdowns. All right, Mad Dog, has Mahomes, Allen, or Burrow been the most impressive this season?
Well, I know Hill left, so you could say Mahomes, but I'm going to say Burrow only because I wasn't sure. Not that last year was a mirage, but I wasn't sure if they would pick up where they left off getting to the Super Bowl a year ago, and he's played great. So because I have so much confidence, you knew Allen had a big year. Mahomes is so good. I thought he'd be covered without Hill. I wasn't sure about Burrow, so there's an element of surprise for me. And, I don't know, Zach Taylor, Andy Reid's good. Zach Taylor, and there's a little element of surprise. So the fact, and he's in a tough division, and a lot of rivalries in that division. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, I think Burrow, to me, has been the biggest surprise in how well he's played for that team that has a chance to be the number one seed in the AFC.
I agree with you, Mad Dog, and I bought some props today.
Oh, you did?
Oh, boy.
I bought some grapefruits, because for me, it's Joe Burrow, because that's how he walks around. Because he's not worried about no Patrick Mahomes. He's not worried about no Tom Brady.
Oh,
he's not worried about no Herbert. He's not worried about any other quarterback or any coach out there in the National Football League. 3-0 versus Patrick Mahomes. A big game this year versus the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Has a big one coming up on Monday Night Football that I'm expecting them to win. Right now, I have the Cincinnati Bengals as the best team in the AFC. I do. When you look at their defense and Lou Amoretto and what he's been able to do, you look at that offense and the weapons and that offensive line being able to gel. But they started the season 0-2, right? They gave up 13 sacks in two games. They found a way. And a lot of people wrote them off at that time. They found a way. I love Joe Burrow, second in passing yards right now, only behind Mahomes. I understand that. But that head-to-head matchup against those two guys, I understand. Plus, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he lost Hill, but Hill wasn't his number one. Travis Kelce has always been Patrick Mahomes' number one. Mm. So he still has that intact.
Yeah, but Tyreek Hill is the most explosive player in the National Football League. He's second in receiving yards for a reason. And this guy walked out of the door, and Pat Mahomes still leads the league in passing yards. He still leads the league in overall QBR. He's accounted for 41 touchdowns. No other quarterback has accounted for 40-plus touchdowns for their team. Pat Mahomes has done that. And, oh, by the way, he's doing that with a defense that's middle of the road. The two quarterbacks that you're talking about in Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, both of them have top 10 scoring defenses. So when we start talking about who's had the more impressive season, I got to go towards Pat Mahomes. And you brought up the division, dog, talked about what Joe Burrow's had to deal with in the AFC North. Coming into this season, we said that this could be the best division of all time in the AFC West. And it's been a runaway for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the only reason it's been that way is because of Pat Mahomes. There is a Michael Jordan-esque quality that Pat Mahomes plays the game of football with. He is by far and away the best player in the National Football League. It ain't close. Look at what he's doing. Look at where his team is, still in contention for the number one seed in the conference. And then look at the supporting cast around him. He is a force multiplier unlike any other in the National Football League. That's why he's had, to me, the more impressive season when we're talking about those three quarterbacks.
Doggy, all those things are true until he goes up against Joe Burrow.
He's 0-2 against the two quarterbacks this year.
Until he goes up against Joe Burrow, who doesn't care who's across from him on that football field. He's 0-3 versus Joe Burrow, including this year. Everybody say, every year, what everybody say? Everything has to go through Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes hosts the AFC Championship year in and year out. Well, guess what Joe Burrow did last year? Went to Kansas City.
Sure.
And beat him.
Sure.
He beat him.
No, I'm acknowledging that, but we're saying that who's had the more impressive season. Both of you guys talked about the defenses that the Bills are bringing to the party, that the Bengals are bringing
but
to the party.
That's Steve Spagnuolo's fault.
That is not the Chiefs.
That's the defensive coordinator putting them in bad positions.
Okay.
That's the coordinator.
I hear what you're saying, but Pat Mahomes has to overcome that. Josh Allen doesn't have to overcome his defense.
No.
Joe Burrow doesn't have to overcome his defense. And, by the way, they got guys on the outside and Ja'Marr Chase and Steph Diggs that are in the conversation for top five receivers in the National Football League, guys that can dictate front and coverage. As great as Travis Kelce is, he can't dictate to the game the defenses the way that those two guys can. And so
He does some dictating now.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but when it talks about leaning the field, Steph Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, explosive plays, they do that on another level. Travis Kelce is a great football player, great tight end, the best tight end in the game. But he ain't those dudes in terms of dictating to opposing defenses, forcing them to play certain coverages. Pat Mahomes doesn't have that guy that can be a force multiplier on the outside anymore. And to me, that's why I give him the edge. The fact that his defense isn't like Josh Allen's or like Joe Burrow's, the fact that he doesn't have that true number one wide receiver, I think that's the part where we take a step back and we look at it and say, this guy's pretty special in terms of what he's been able to do.
So I'll ask you this.
Leading the league.
And I know it may be a little different.
Leading the league. That's the other thing.
It might be a little different from the topic
we're
on right now.
Yeah.
But if the two happen to face in the playoffs right now, who are you taking in that matchup? Are you taking – I'm just asking hypothetically because I want to know. Who are you taking in that matchup? You taking the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, or are you going to take Patrick Mahomes – in the Chiefs?
Well, first of all, I'm probably going to lean toward Patrick Mahomes because the AFC Championship game is starting to be known as the Chiefs Invitational.
Yeah.
They've hosted it four straight years. So I'm going to lean toward the team that's probably going to be at home, all things being equal, because all of these quarterbacks are in the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League.
True story.
So, I mean, you're splitting hairs when we start talking about who you trust more in those circumstances. But that ain't the question about who I trust more. The question is who has put together the most impressive season. And to me, when you're doing the most like Pat Mahomes and you have the least in terms of supporting cast, that's the guy that gets the edge to me.
Well, see, a lot of people wanted to see, could Joe Burrow do it again? Because a lot of questions lied, was last year a fluke?
That's what I think. That's why I voted for him.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm picking Joe Burrow as my guy. A lot of people thought he couldn't do it 2 years in a row.
We knew Mahomes was going to be great. We knew that.
I don't know if I necessarily was one of those people that believed that, though. All you had to do was look at what he did in LSU his final season and then look at what he did in his first full season in the National Football League. You know that this is a special dude.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Burrow is a very special quarterback. And to me, there ain't too many quarterbacks that I would pick ahead of him if I'm starting the franchise today.
You picked the two of them. It's a very tricky. It's very close. I'll go with the fact that Mahomes lost both games this year to Buffalo and the Bengals. They've lost their 0-2 there. And I'll go with
win.
The fact that at least it's unfair to him because of the fact he's so good he's underrated. It's like that with him.
Yes.
But the idea, he's got Andy Reid. The Denver stinks. The Raiders aren't very good. The Chargers are okay.
You said he has who again? Who's his coach?
Andy Reid.
Wow. Andy Reid's been phenomenal. His entire coaching career.
Big career, yeah. Big coach.
But they're due for a big win, for sure, for sure. They're
well, I tell you, this Buffalo-Bengal game on Monday
game.
Night.
It's
going
to be a fun game.
Fun game, and we've got to take a fun break right now.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Although it's the holidays and time to be jolly, there's still some things to get mad about, right? Mad Dog, what's got you speaking
now? I got a lot of things here. So number one, what is the Commanders and Ron Rivera doing? This is an atrocious decision. Yeah. Did you not see Carson Wentz play? We fired to his broken finger. He was awful. Henneke's got a little spunk. It wasn't his fault against the Giants. A couple of bad calls. Anybody can lose to San Francisco. He had a good drive against the Giants to tie the game up. He played well against Brady in the playoff 2 years ago. The team loves him. I hate this call. This is disastrous. It's a panic move. That is a terrible job. And say it now. First guess. Terrible job by Rivera taking Henneke out of the game.
Let him know.
You agree?
Let him know.
Yes, he does.
Let him know.
What else has got you?
All right, that's number one. Number two, how about the Lions? All right.
Here we go.
Are you part of the guys who had the Lions and all your little parlays there on Christmas Eve? Because I won, that's what. And what a disgrace. They didn't show up against Carolina. No. Their defense didn't want to play. 33 degrees, hard turf, and they panicked. They did nothing. Up and down the field, left and right, the Panther offense. They ran for 327 yards. And the Lions are playing for the playoffs. They control their own destiny, and they lay a complete egg. That game drove me crazy.
The head coach talking about bite kneecaps, Mad Dog. He want to bite kneecaps. They got all their kneecaps bitten, every last one of them. 300-plus yards.
327!
And three touchdowns.
They were terrible. And right off the bat, that game drove me crazy.
That game drove a lot of people crazy.
Yeah, that drove me. All right, here's number three.
All right.
You know what? This is in a results-oriented business here, and I would have probably made the same trade, too, but how about George Payton? All right?
Yeah.
Broncos have been a disaster. He gave up the store for Wilson. Two ones, two twos, a fifth, and Noah Fan, a pretty good tight end. And then he turned around and gave a quarterback who Seattle gave up on $163 million guaranteed. And then he turned around and brought Hackett in, who stunk, who didn't know what he was doing. And Peyton sitting there, and he fired Fangio, who should never have been fired because last year the Broncos played hard week after week after week. I'll tell you right now, he is on my list. He ruined, I took the Broncos, he ruined my Christmas Eve dinner. 52-14, his garbage football team. He has done an awful job running it. He takes a lot of abuse. Peyton is on my list.
Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry he ruined your Christmas dinner. I also am sorry why you chose the Broncos. Now, Harry, I understand there's something you're mad about.
Oh, mad dog.
Yes, sir, Harry.
This morning I was a sad dog.
Really?
Let me tell you why I was a sad dog, man.
Braves didn't play. What were you sad about?
Listen, it was 2:45 a.m. in the morning. And I said, you know what? Normally I get up at 3:30 to do Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But today, this time, I'm going to get up at 4:15. I'm going to get an extra hour plus of sleep. No. Ding, ding, ding. Fire alarm. Fire alarm. I'm thinking it's going to go off in about 30 minutes.
There's no fire.
Hell to the no, mad dog. It goes, I left the hotel this morning at 4:45.
And it was still going on.
It was still going on. So what do you want me to do, mad dog? I'm going to sit here, I'm going to lay on the floor. I'm going to lay on the floor, and I'm going to still be a sad dog. Because I'm tired, mad dog.
Oh, no.
I just want to get a nap.
Oh, no.
I just want to sleep, mad dog.
Oh, no.
I need energy for my kids when I get home.
I'll sleep next to you, big guy.
I need some energy when I get home for my kids, mad dog. And I've been up since 2:45 a.m. I'm tired, mad dog. And I'm angry. And I'm not going to mention the name of the hotel because I still love them. But, mad dog, I'm sleep deprived.
Yep.
And there's one night I thought it was no football game on.
And no
I
kids.
Was going to be able to sleep.
What, the Wisconsin-Oklahoma State game didn't do anything for you?
Oh, no. I went to sleep on that one, boss.
You did? So the nation.
I went to sleep on that one.
That was a bad game.
Oh, we got a mad dog and a sad dog and a sleepy dog.
Oh, yeah. I was a sad dog this morning. As soon as I beep, 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 my face drooped. Once you wake up
and you know you have to get up, you never can go back
to sleep. You never go back to sleep. Also, never. I want to add, there was no actual fire, right?
No. I think somebody, got a little excited.
And pulled the alarm.
They said it was the sprinkler. Somebody tampered with them.
Red Auerbach used to do that when the Lakers came to town.
I think the tampering may have came from somebody.
Red Auerbach used to do that when the Lakers came to town. He set the alarm off. They had to get out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was an up and smoke tour, and you put two and two together. I don't know who it was.
We're going to take a break.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Welcome back to First Take. The path to the playoffs for the Packers is still intact with two games remaining. The Packers must win both of their games, and either the Commanders lose one of their final two games or the Giants must lose both of their games, giving the Packers a 37% chance to make the playoffs, according to ESPN Analytics. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the fight to the finish.
We're all going to be Browns fans this week.
Hell yeah.
Oh, Browns.
Wow.
definitely pulling for the Browns, and obviously we got to take care of our own business. But I mean, we got a big jump of confidence this last week. A lot of people are probably saying, "Oh, you beat a couple bad teams, and the Bears and the Rams. Whoa. You know, now see what happens when you play against a good football team." We went down to Miami, played a good football team, and had a really nice second half, and came out of there with a big win.
All right, came out with a big win indeed. Amber, back with us now. Mad Dog, let's start with you. Will the Packers win out and make the playoffs?
First off, Rodgers is so good post-game with all the quarterback, you know, with the media, and he's great in that show. He's thoughtful, gives you good answers. He talks like a sports fan.
Yeah.
He's really good with that. He's got some things you don't love, but there he is fine.
Yep.
I think the Packers win the two games. I think they beat Minnesota. I don't want to take the Vikings lightly. They're going to hear everybody thinks Green Bay is going to win, so that will give them – and they're playing for something.
Yeah.
Because they can still get the two seed, which would mean, of course, they get two home games. I think Philadelphia is going to win a game. So they get the two seed. They lose tiebreaker to San Francisco, so they need to win both games. But I think that Green Bay will win two. The Giants are going to beat the Colts. So that leaves them Washington. Now, if Washington did not make this quarterback switch, I think the Commanders would have beaten the Browns, and Dallas is not going to need the game, so they're going to beat Dallas. But now that he put Wentz back in there, a guy who hasn't played in 2 months, who wasn't playing great to begin with, has got to be a little indecision amongst the team, some head scratching. It's not been Henneke's fault. So now it's a little bit more up in the air. So now I say, and the Browns were terrible last week. Mm-hmm. So watch Watson go in there, play better, a little better weather. So I say that the Packers will get a sweep and Washington will lose to Cleveland and the Packers will make the playoffs. How about that?
All right, Amber, what do you think?
Sure, how about it? It's just not going to happen. That's the problem.
Okay.
Why are they acting like a team? They've got like a 27% chance right now of making the playoffs. 37% chance.
You've got to get that extra 10%.
I mean, that extra 10% because of all the help that they've gotten from their friends, and they need the help now from several other teams to get in. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they're even going to be in a position where they're relying on these other teams, the Commanders or the Giants, to help them out, because I don't think that they're winning out. First of all, they could even lose to the Lions, okay? But they're going to lose to the Minnesota Vikings. We're sleeping on the Minnesota Vikings once again when it comes to this Green Bay team. The Vikings have been better in every statistical category. They have the better weapons. By the way, they have the better quarterback this season as well in every way. When you pull the numbers, and we're living in the moment here with this Green Bay Packers team because of these three wins against a decent Miami Dolphins team. You heard Aaron Rodgers just say a great team. I mean, listen, I'm a Dolphins fan. Like, let's a decent Miami Dolphins team with maybe a concussed Tua Tagovailoa who was gifting them that game for those final three possessions. But then the other two teams, we're not making any sort of argument that that was decent competition that they were playing against. But if we just live in the moment, if I allow you to do that, in the last five games alone, if I pull the numbers, Kirk Cousins is still better than Aaron Rodgers in just about every single category: completion percentage, touchdowns, interceptions, passing yards. So even if you want to limit it to recent history, this Green Bay Packers team is still better offensively, this Minnesota Vikings team is still better offensively, even better defensively, even though the Vikings have some problems there on defense and questions. We're talking about a Green Bay Packers team where they might not even have Christian Watson available to them. He's day-to-day after that hip injury against the Dolphins, and we're also all of a sudden acting like three receptions from Romeo Doubs means that Aaron Rodgers has all this chemistry with now his young receivers.
Yeah, I'm on the side with Amber. I don't think they're going to be able to win out. When I look at the Minnesota Vikings, and you mentioned it, Doggy, they're still fighting to keep that number two seed. That is very, very important, right? Because you wouldn't meet the Philadelphia Eagles if you happen to make the NFC Championship game until the NFC Championship game if they make it that far, right? So I think the number two seed is very, very key because you don't want the San Francisco 49ers to get it, who's right on their heels, who's playing probably the best football more so than anybody right now at this juncture in the season. The second thing that I got to say, you look at the Minnesota Vikings and they're 11-0 in one score games. This was a deficiency a year ago with them. They didn't make the playoffs because all of those games that were close, they lost. And when I look at them now, you look at Greg Joseph and five times this season with the minute to go in regulation and overtime, he's been able to put the Minnesota Vikings ahead with his legs. If it's a close game, I'm betting my money on the Minnesota Vikings because history this season in 2022 has showed me that. But we also got to realize and say, we're really up here thinking the Green Bay Packers are a good football team? When they're not. That's just not in 2022.
Preach.
You look at the last three games, and the Miami Dolphins basically gifted them a win. You look at the turnovers that they got, they barely could do anything with the turnovers. they still barely won this football game. They still had a chance, the Miami Dolphins at the end, to win it before Tua threw that the third interception. And then not only that, I look at the game against the Chicago Bears. The Packers were winning 20-19 with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in that game. And the Chicago Bears had the ball at like the 40-plus yard line of the Green Bay Packers. And that's when Justin Fields threw an interception. They could have easily lost that game. And then I'm not going to dare sit up here and say they're a good football team when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams, who's number one depleted with no Matthew Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, no Aaron Donald, no Allen Robinson, and you're excited because you beat the Los Angeles Rams? No. I'm not going to do it. I don't think they have a chance to actually get into the playoffs, but I will say this. This part about it makes me nervous, Amber, because I spoke about it earlier when Chris Canty was here. If they do happen to win and get in, and I think we got some video to prove what I'm about to say right now. Aaron Rodgers squeaked in and got into the playoffs in 2010. When I was with the Atlanta Falcons, we were 13-3 and had the number one seed. And we had a first round bye. They came into the Georgia Dome at the time and put a foothold in us and went on to win the Super Bowl. And that play that Ryan Clark always talks about, Aaron Rodgers throwing that dart across his head, that happened to be the Super Bowl they won that same year.
They're making you relive it right,
Greg,
it
right there. We're literally reliving it. Yeah, we're literally reliving it. Now, you mentioned the Dolphins. Speaking of the Dolphins, our Adam Schefter just tweeted that Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel told reporters that QB Tua Tagovailoa did, in fact, suffer a concussion Sunday, and Teddy Bridgewater is in line to start Sunday at New England. Now, Chris, how concerned are you about Tua with the big picture from a health perspective? Because that's what's most important.
Absolutely. He had the one against Buffalo where he was staggered. Then he had the one against Cincinnati. Now he has here. You have to be very worried about him long term. I don't even remember the play. They had to go back and look at it when he hit his head there on Christmas Day. Yes, I am very concerned by that. And, of course, now that hurts. I hate to look at it this way because this is more health-oriented. But, you know, Bridgewater against Belichick in a game that Miami needs to have, that hurts them a lot there on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I actually got the Patriots winning that ball game because we look at the history of this season when Tua has been out. Yep. Right,
They struggled.
They're 0-2 in those games, and a Bill Belichick defense. And I think the Los Angeles Chargers gave us a blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. What to do against the Miami Dolphins offense. You think Bill Belichick is not going to look at that tape and say, you know what, we need to force them to throw the football down the football field in New England, in the cold, in the wind, and take away the middle of the field? That's one of the things that Bill Belichick is going to do, especially how they've lost the last two games. You have redemption. You got CPR. I'm certified. You have CPR. So now you have a chance to, you know, overcome those wrongs of Ramondre Stevenson fumbling inside their 10-yard line to go beat the Cincinnati Bengals. And that last play of the game in which, yes, I put it on coaches as well as players, that you're calling a draw at the end of the game, knowing that you can't score a touchdown there instead of taking a knee and going in overtime. They have a chance to right these wrongs this week.
They have a chance, but they're not going to be able to get it done because Bridgewater is a viable backup, right? You have a veteran in that situation coming in for Tua. And you're talking about a vet when he did come in relief of Tua against the Bengals. He was pretty good, 14 of 20. 183 yards and a touchdown, right? Then he was supposed to start against the New York Jets, which he started that game, gets immediately knocked out. They have to go to Skylar Thompson. Then they end up going back to Bridgewater the next week against the Vikings. They lose that game. But again, he was coming off of his own protocol because the independent person had evaluated Bridgewater and decided from a hit in the game against the Jets that he needed to go out. So it's been a lot of back and forth during the time that we did see Bridgewater trying to start for the Miami Dolphins in relief of Tua. Yes, we haven't seen anybody but Tua win under center for this Dolphins team. The difference is, though, in the last couple of months since Bridgewater was tasked with trying to do that, is the running game has come together, thanks in large part also from pickups like Jeff Wilson. The protection has come together. This is a better Dolphins team, presumably, than it was when Tua got knocked out against the Bengals. And again, Bridgewater is a vet. He should be able to get it done against a Patriots team that, frankly,
I don't think they run the football effectively enough. I think they're one-dimensional.
I agree with you. They're going to have to rely on the running game more. And McDaniel, please, for the love of goodness, run the ball with Teddy. Run the ball.
And if this game was in Miami,
I would give
Miami the edge. But the fact that it's in Foxborough in the cold weather, and then I know Bill Belichick is going to force them to throw. Listen,
we got rid of the cold weather conversation when the Dolphins attested the Bills.
It's a different
also
quarterback.
Also, not going to be that cold this weekend.
A different quarterback. Is the backup quarterback of the Miami Dolphins worse than the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots? Because I'm not even sure.
If you're a Bill Belichick defense, right, and like the Los Angeles Chargers, they took away the middle of the football field and forced everything to be thrown outside. when you have wide receivers that are 5'8 and 5'9, that's a low percentage throw. That's a low percentage throw versus you throwing over the middle of the football field. You know, that's why a lot of times when you have like a Jamar Chase, who is a big body guy, or you have a 6'3", 6'4", Devontae Adams that can go up over defenders, that's different versus having a 5'8", 5'9 receiver running down the middle of the field. Because if it's not a foot race and if they're not behind defenders or you're playing zone coverage, you can negate a lot of what they do.
There's this idea out there that everyone's figured out Mike McDaniel's offense coming off of that Chargers game. I understand the win-loss column might reflect that, but don't forget this is an offense that put up 20 points in the first half against Green Bay. This is an offense that tested the Buffalo Bills, who I would argue is the best team in the entire conference.
I just don't think they're running the football effectively enough. They're one-dimensional. No.
Watch the Jets.
That's who I got.
Watch the Jets.
Jets were dead last Thursday night, and they lost to Jacksonville.
Yep.
Look what the Jets. They've had every break known to man. Miami loses. The Raiders lost. New England lost.
Yeah.
They've had the whole world lose, and now they got Tua out. And if the Jets beat Seattle, I mean, with Bridgewater there in Week 18, watch the Jets.
Mike White better than Bridgewater?
Oh, Mike White's played well.
That's going to be that's a whole other can of worms that we don't have time to open up.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome back to First Take. One of the all-time great defenders of this generation is hanging up his cleats when this season ends. Cardinals defensive end J.J. Watt will retire when Arizona's season ends in 2 weeks, tweeting in part, quote, "My heart is filled with nothing but love and gratitude. It's been an absolute honor and pleasure." J.J. is a part of a historic company as one of three players in NFL history to win three Defensive Player of the Year awards, along with Aaron Donald and Lawrence Taylor. It's time to bring in league historian Chris Russo.
Let's take it easy. Take it easy.
Obviously, a great player, but who would you put in your top five defensive players?
He is not anywhere near this group.
Not even near it?
No, no way. Honorable mention.
There's a paper towel here.
Oh, yeah, I got to write it down so I don't forget. Honorable mention is Gino Marchetti. All NFL. Seven straight years, and he developed the sack. And remember, no sacks were recorded in those days. This guy was a tremendous Baltimore Colt in the 50s and the 60s, won three championships. He doesn't make the top six, but he's number five. He is, I got to mention him as an honorable mention. All right, number five, who did I put as number five? Oh, Butkus. How can I not put Butkus as number five? This is the prototypical middle linebacker in NFL football history, 65 to 73. He scared the daylights out of people, a ferocious hitter. That's an easy one, number five. Reggie White is number four. He, of course, you know, 11 out of 13 years old pro. Eagles and Green Bay, I would put him a little higher, but his team sometimes struggled in postseason with his defense, but Reggie's number four. Randy White of the Cowboys, one number 54. He is number three. A lot of people think he's the best defensive tackle they've ever seen. Randy White was the MVP of a Super Bowl as a defensive lineman. He is number three. Mean Joe Green has got to be number two.
I like
first
Green
round,
Green.
First pick
mean
of the
Joe
draft.
Green.
By the Packers,
let's go.
Obviously that of the Steelers, obviously that tremendous defense, the steel curtain. It starts with him. He would be at number two, and Lawrence Taylor is number one. All right, there's no argument with LT. LT changed. Ask Belichick. LT changed the position. He changed the way the linebacker spot was made. He dominated the game both pass in the pass coverage scenario and rushing a quarterback. I don't think there's any way J.J., and I left a lot of guys out. I got no defensive backs on this list. I left Ray Lewis off this list, and you could easily put him in there. I lost Bob Lilly off this list. Bob Lilly's one of the great players in the history of the NFL for the Cowboys.
Not
even in the top 10.
What year was he, Bob Lilly?
Well, he played in 61 and 74.
Tell me when you watched football.
Do I need to go in the damn time machine? Well, what do I need to do, man?
Some of these guys,
I don't even know.
We have to honor
the elders
folks who played before we have
a contract. Can I tell you who's on my list?
Who were they playing against back then, too? Athleticism.
Stickman.
But I have Harry Douglas.
I have Reggie White on my list.
All right, we agree.
I have Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, you agree.
I have Deion Sanders on my list.
He's a defensive back.
Don't get mad. Give me my theme music. You mad at Prime.
Harry, give me Prime.
Linebackers. Give me my theme. All right, who else?
I have Ray Lewis and I have Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Donald hasn't retired yet, and we would put Donald in the conversation, but he's still playing, so I can't put him there.
It's very modern of you.
And I got Ronnie Lott as honorable mention.
Okay. You don't put Dick Butkus.
Okay, that's going to do it.
Some NFL film.
Give me my theme music.
Oh, my God.
Give me my theme music. For First Take, Harry, Chris, Amber, I'm Victoria. Thank you for hanging with us. We're just going to dance it out. We're just going to dance it out now.
I need my theme music.
Sleep, Harry.